Access number 29042, Mr. Jack Holliday, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about your time at Drake Street Drill Hall, or wait, it was on Drake Street anyway, from late 39 through into 40. What about this promotion to Lance Corporal? Why do you think you were picked out for that, or was it just that...
Well, probably one of the original kind of TA lads who joined up with us, rather than the intakes. They had to... Somebody had to kind of be taught, and then I went on a junior NCO's course.
Now, what was that like?
Which was held at what was a Manchester race course, and it was a horse race course in Salford, just in Salford. And there were regular soldiers, like, who were instructors there, and you were taught how to drill people, how to arms, how to drill in general, drill foot drill, arms drill, commands and all that, and how to train. And then I was made full corporal when I'd done the course, which I passed. And this is when we started then the training in the from Rochdale.
Now, you were now one of the instructors, in fact.
Yeah, I got it in after, yeah.
Now, what about the training process? How did the drafts respond to the training?
Quite well, but, you had a funny thing. I always remember one occasion where the officer, captain, said, give them all a rifle, and there was a big field at the back of this mill, and give them all a rifle and let them go and play with them in the field. They get used to the feel of a rifle, you see. And we got out there to see what they'd done. They'd pulled bits of bolts, all the bolt pieces, and more or less stripped guns down, and they didn't know how to put them back. So, well, that was the first introduction we gave them for handling a rifle after that. Then after that, they were all right. They, gradually did the normal basic training.
Now, what do you remember? What was the... Take me through the basic training. What is basic training?
Well, basic training is a bit of everything, really. You do a period on drill, period arms drill, probably period on most things, really. Oh, field craft and that kind of thing. You know, observation in the field, what to sit and look for and that kind of thing. Just a general kind of basic training of everything you could cover for them.
Was there much tactical training, you know?
Not for a start, no. Got them basic training first, and before they added in any tactical stuff.
You must have been only just ahead of some of them with some of the subjects.
I was younger than some of them, and then they call up 20s, I think. And
how did you get on with it? When they're very young, like when you're very young, and NCO, you're full corporal then, I mean, did you have any trouble with some of the older privates?
I never remember any. No, you just got the odd one who was a bit bossy, but in general, they realised that, I think it sunk in that they'd been called up and they had to do it, whether they liked it or not, kind of style, so they got stuck into it. We had a very happy battalion at I didn't say that. A lucky and happy battalion.
Which company were you in at this stage? I should have asked that.
We didn't have companies properly till then. As I went to...
Okay.
Originally, I was B Company. Most of the war, but in B Company. Got eventually made sergeant in the October 40.
Hang on. So, anything else happening in 1940? You know, you're at Rochdale, you're at the Drake Street Drill Hall. Anything happening there?
Well, no, after we'd kind of give them the basic training, they moved it over to Yorkshire doing defences on...
Now, when did that happen?
Oh,
roughly.
March, it'd be about the middle of March, April, probably... 40. And we did
now where did
same for road doing roadblocks and that kind of thing in case there were any attack on.
So whereabouts in Yorkshire were you?
Now these are that's one spell I can't just remember where we're stationed at. There are only villages in Yorkshire.
Now, what were you doing? Tell me about these roadblocks and things. How would you establish a roadblock? This is in case.
Well, they were made as a trestle with barbed wire. And the side road, and the idea was to pull them out with a bank on each side. So you pull them out so you could be on the bank. And if any chance, the idea was, if they had to stop for these roadblocks, you then threw grenades at them or something, or fired at them. This was the kind of basic training on that, to do a roadblock, stop them if there was anybody any movement, any invasion. This was part of the training for that.
So there's roadblocks. Anything else you were doing?
Well, I kept up with the basic training, you know, all the training all the time, but nothing out of the ordinary.
Had you had much grenade training? I'll just mention.
Oh, yes, we all got that.
Tell us about hand grenade training. How did they train you in hand
grenade? Well, you used to be behind a thing, and you took the pin out, train them to take the pin out, and wait a second, then throw it. It's over the top of the parapet, you see. It's in front and then.
Was there any trouble? Some people have trouble.
Some people, yeah, they did get them. They got nervous and dropped the ruddy thing, you know, if you're not careful. They didn't throw it. As soon as they pulled the pin out, they thought they were, it's going to go off. And first time they did it, some of them, you know, but you used to tell them, pull the pin out, you're all right while you hold the lever down. And then when you, you know, throw it and leave it. But you just got the odd one who got scared and instead of throwing it right out inside, he jop them in front of the sandbagging or tent. But that was the only time you got out.
Now, anything else about you? You don't know where in Yorkshire, that's fair enough. How long were you in Yorkshire?
Oh, I don't know, 12 months, 6 months, I think. But then we moved down to 40, I think we went down to Lowestoft on Court Defence.
So that, when would that be? October.
Yeah.
Now, what were you doing at Lowestoft? What do you remember about the coastal defence?
Well, we were just kind of back up in case there was some of the companies who were on the beach doing like dugout beaches or positions on near the coastline.
Now, what type of positions were they digging and preparing? You know, do you remember how they dug them, what they looked like, how they were laid out?
Well, some of them were houses that had been reinforced inside that still looked like houses, but they were reinforced with firing vents inside them.
Now, who would prepare that? Would that be the engineers? Or would that
engineers
be
would have done those because we didn't do them, but what we did do after, we did another spell at Hastings Rye.
Now, hang on, anything else about Lowestoft first?
No, only the Navy. The Navy there had they had a depot at Lowestoft, what they call a land ship. And they were on patrol out right there, but mainly we stood to, what they call stand to.
Tell us what stand to was.
Well, stand to was more or less dusk. Henry Valley in the morning, daylight and dusk, you see.
What would you actually do on a stand?
Well, you just stood up, you turned out, and more or less, turned out and guard in different positions around the area that you all allocated, and you just more or less waited there for a half an hour or so, and everything quiet now, and then you fell out again.
So what would you do the rest of the night? I mean, would you stay in the positions or?
No, you'd just fall out after about an hour, 2 hours, yeah.
Where were you billeted?
I was billeted in a kind of a child's school, orphanage or something. The block and the headquarters at the time. I was in headquarter company then.
Not B company?
No. We had the what we call a NACAC platoon, which was stand to. This gun had to be taken out and mounted near a water tower, in Lowestoft.
And were you on that?
Well, I was a corporal then, in charge of one of these guns. You see,
a NACAC gun.
Well, no, Bren gun.
A Bren gun.
Bren gun, and I mounted on a tripod.
So it's an anti-aircraft Bren gun.
Yeah. Well, it was a Bren gun, but you mounted it. You had a tripod with it as well, you see.
And tell me about the Bren gun. What did you think of the Bren gun?
Very good.
You'd learned to fire it, obviously. Right, what did you tell us what was so good about the Bren gun?
It was pretty accurate. You see, the other type machine guns, such as the Vickers, had a cone of fire. Because it spread the bullets, fired rapid. But Bren gun, you fire single shot, as well as automatic, you could fire single shot. I found it very accurate at times.
Now, what was you were in headquarters company?
For a spell, yeah.
And you were on the Bren guns?
Well, we had this ACAC platoon, they call it.
Now, how was the ACAC platoon organised?
Well, you just had a section on the two on the Bren gun and one, you know, one an actual fire of the gun, and others loaded or carried ammunition and or guarded that or guarded him. Okay.
And anything happened? Any air raids or anything while you were at lower stock?
Oh, one or two, but nothing really happened. The Dorniers used to come down and.
What would happen? Give us an idea. I mean, what would happen?
Well, you'd just come out and usually you weren't attacking, they weren't bombing or anything inside, they were after the shipping that went down the North Street. That's another thing, while we're at Rochdale, it's just come back to my mind. We had six Bren guns with two on each gun, and they were trained for gas, they would put your cape on, and we did nothing else but train with the Bren gun on a tripod. And apparently the idea was, we went one gun, it was sent to somewhere near Newcastle and reported to an officer at the base, and you were allocated a ship. And the gun, you took your gun and ammunition and everything, two of you, onto the ship. And
did
it
you actually do this, or was this just...
I didn't do it. I was part of the team, but I never got sent to... But I was told after, you went to this, what was it called, Captain? You were allocated a boat, and you went on the bridge, more or less, or where the captain wanted you, and you escorted it down to, say, from Newcastle to London. Well, that's when the lads used to get attacked, more or less, with the Dorniers, who used to come and attack these boats going down the North Sea.
So you were lucky you didn't get that. Now, did you ever open fire on the Dorniers at Lowestoft, or did you just see them?
No, I didn't. I believe the lads on the beaches did. The lads on the front did.
You're still a corporal, not a sergeant.
I think a sergeant then.
Did you have a sergeant's mess?
Not as such, like they are now. You more or less, if you could have a separate area in the, have a separate area in the dining room, you know, just in the corner, two or three tables, probably allocated to the sergeants. But normally there are no places like this. Put it that way, like.
Now, so how long were you at Lowestoft? About a year, you.
Yeah.
So when did you go to?
I don't know. We had a queer moves round. I'm trying to think where we went next.
You said Kent, didn't you?
Pardon?
You said Kent, I thought.
Yeah, we went to Kent. We did go down to Hastings, Sussex.
Oh, to Hastings.
Hastings,
sorry, yeah.
Area. Rye.
You don't know when that was? And
no, I can't remember. I know we were... Then again, it was called to Venice, and we used tubular scaffolding, and I think it was the first time tubular scaffolding was ever used, because up to then all the scaffolding had been wood, even in civilian life. But the army had this tubular scaffolding, and we had to make a formation in the sand front, and built so it was slight. If anything pushed against them, it would go back and dig itself in, you see, and there was height of a 6 foot or more, and if anything pushed against them, they went back into the sand. Then we built lines and lines of this from Rye, Brown, Wilchelsea, Rye area.
So you were more at Rye than Hastings, were you?
Yeah, we weren't never in Hastings, no. Never actually based in Hastings, but Rye and...
So you were building beach defences?
Yeah.
And anything else you were doing in the Rye area?
Not really, because that was my job every day. You just got these working parties down onto the beach and building more scaffolding. Nothing else did happen, really, apart from the normal duties in the battalion, you know. Guards and that thing.
So what's the next thing you remember?
We had I can't remember. No, just now where we went from Hastings. I know we went back up to eventually. Oh, we went to Hull. Back up to Hull.
Now what were you doing at Hull?
Well, it was just training and exercises, field exercises mainly. I was in the carrier platoon then, as a sergeant in the carriers.
Now, what was your role? That's the headquarters company again.
Yeah.
Now, so what? Tell us about the carrier. That's Bren Gun carrier.
Bren Gun carrier.
Now, tell us, what did you think of the Bren Gun carrier?
They were quite good, but they're not much protection. But they were probably ideal for what they were needed for, to get you into a position which was awkward and unload your Bren Gun, you see. But they were and they were fairly easy to handle, funny enough. A trap vehicle.
And did you actually learn to drive one? Or
yeah, yes. The commanding officer at the time, I forget his name, he insisted that whatever you did in the carrier platoon, everybody had to drive, be able to drive a carrier, so that's a...
Now, tell me a bit about the exercises you were doing in the Hull area, or while you were based at Hull.
Well, it was a field, you know, imaginary attacks and that kind of thing.
How realistic were they?
They were very interesting. How?
Tell us, what were you actually doing?
Well, you were just living in the field and giving an order to attack or withdraw or something like that, you see. And it's a bit difficult to explain. You just marched into about 10 miles and did an attack or something like that. And
now, how long was this going on at Hull?
Oh, I wouldn't know. 4 months, probably, I don't know.
So what next?
Oh, now. We suddenly got moved up to Scotland.
Whereabouts
to be 42 though now, you're talking about.
Whereabouts in Scotland?
Well, all over. We went up first of all to a place called Dornoch. We all moved us right up to Dornoch, which is about 50 miles not the top of Scotland, north of Scotland. And we were turned into a snow and mountain warfare unit.
Now, tell me about that. How did they do that?
Well, they took all our gear off us and issued with his fresh mountaineer gear. It's very good. You got 3 pair of socks, 3 gloves, wind smock and trousers and a hood. And instead of the normal webbing, we got a rucksack. And we did 2 years up in Scotland in the Cairngorms, training in the snow, and some had snowshoes, some had skis, and there was some Norwegian lads over who did the trainers as skis, and that was done at headquarters. That was Dalwhinnie, a place called Dalwhinnie in Scotland, and we did that 2 years with the 52nd Lowland Div, Scottish Div.
Tell us about the training then. What specialist training did you get? Skiing. You had to learn to ski, did you?
Well, I didn't, but we had the patrol sections. Anybody who allocated the patrol section, they were expected to be able to ski. But we had snowshoes, like big tennis racket things you put on there.
What were they like?
A bit clumsy, but they helped you in the snow, because don't forget you were quite a depth of snow in winter up there. But you're very fit.
Were you doing survival training as well? Survival
training? Yeah.
What sort of thing would you do for that, survival training?
Well, breathe. What do you mean, to breathe in and that kind of thing?
I mean, no, just surviving in rough...
Oh, yeah, you had to dig into the snow itself and make kind of igloos and that kind of thing. If you get a hill and the snow drifts over the top of it, it forms quite a pile of snow, and you could dig into that and make a hollow in it and live in that if necessary. Out of the cold.
So you spent 2 years up there. Anything happened during the period? Or?
No, it was mainly just training. You'd do about 3 weeks at a time, exercises, 2 to 3 weeks. You go out in the cairn from your billets, wherever you were stationed, and did exercises in snow, trekking across the mountains, that kind of thing.
Did you enjoy it, or was it?
At the time, yes. It was wasn't bad. You know, it was a change, put it that way, to begin with.
Any stories from the
Well, we were told that originally it was going to be prepared for probably attack on Norway or somewhere. But it never appeared, and then... When D-Day started, they kept us up in Scotland, thinking if the possibility of this is what we were told. Now these are rumours that the counterattack from Norway might have come into Scotland, so we were kept up there as a kind of a defence force in case of a counterattack from them. And then, all of a sudden, they said, you're not going at mountain warfare, you're going to Arnhem. And they put a Dakota hull on a trestle in a big mill, and the lads had to practice driving a jeep up to them and loading. And we loaded, you know, how much to load and how to live in a Dakota, because they're only campers. Mainly Canberra, they weren't reinforced at Dakota. And they took us down to Lincolnshire to go to join the Arnhem. The idea was that the whole division would be a support unit to the Paras. And as
now,
you know from...
52nd Div.
Yeah, 52nd. And as you know from the thing, it was failure. They loaded up, D Company loaded up the planes as they come back from the Paras. Because we weren't jumping, we had to be, they had to all land, all the Dakotas landed. The next order was unload again. The Paras have not done what they've done, and they want supplies and ammunition. So the planes were used for that. Then they said load up again. And the planes, because each plane had a number, and each one had a certain load, a jeep and four men, or gear or something, each plane had numbered, and it all knew where you were going or what you were going on. And then they said unload all together. The Polish Paras were going in, and as this is them, they didn't do any good, so they said call it off. So that was Arnhem done with us.
So you're still back in England. That's September, I think, isn't it? 1944.
Yeah,
so you're still up there now. What happens next then?
Well, I say we came down to Lincolnshire for the Arnhem do, and then that was finished. The next thing, we moved again down south somewhere in a forest. We were loaded up at Tilbury, and that's when the Walcheren and Beveland attacks took place. Right.
Now, what was your role in the unit? Because you were
They crossed in the attacking forces went first, and the Q side.
Now, you haven't told us anything about the Q side. When did you go to the Q side?
Oh, a colour sergeant. I don't know. I knew. When we went up to Scotland, I think.
I thought you were in Bren Guns there. Well, tell us about your role in, as a Q anyway, before we go on to...
I was a colour sergeant up in Scotland because I had to go take rations up to... I had a truck full of rations and I had to go and draw rations and take it forward. And that was the same during the war.
When you were in...
Wherever you went, you had a truck, and often enough you were on your own. And we were what they call a support group. We weren't infantry then. We changed to what we went and did. When we went up to Scotland, they changed us into a support group.
I thought when you went to Scotland, you were changed into a mountain warfare group.
Yeah, but as a support group in a mountain warfare division. We had three Vickers machine guns, three companies of Vickers machine guns, and a company of heavy mortars, 4.2 mortars. And the idea was, your support group was, if an infantry battalion wanted extra firepower, if they were going into attack, you probably put a company of machine gunners and a platoon of heavy mortars as support to them. And this is what happened. And so...
So there was no longer an infantry battalion?
It was a support group.
Now, anything else? Any other role? Your one role was as a colour sergeant was rations. What else were your duties as a colour sergeant? When you're in England,
You were more or less look after the food, indented for clothing and that kind of thing. General welfare of the doing attended meals for the cook house and that kind of thing.
And did you enjoy the role?
Yes. I enjoyed all my army life. I shouldn't say it, but I was probably one of the lucky ones. I went through it all right, but I had no trouble in the army.
Now, anything? So you went to Lincolnshire, and then you went to Tilbury and loaded up at Tilbury.
What about
loading up at Tilbury?
Well, we just were marched onto a boat, and anywhere you could get on the boat.
What type of boat?
Well, there were troopers, more or less, you know, smaller. And they landed us at... we landed near Ostend. And...
Now, anything about the Channel crossing? Was it rough or...?
No, it wasn't too bad. We went across in darkness, actually, at night, and they landed us, and... we were south of in Belgium, and south of them. We marched up, or moved up, I should say. We didn't march then. Moved up towards Beveland.
Now, can you just tell us what transport you had? What vehicles did your support group, your battalion have then, or support group?
Carriers mainly, but
Bren gun carriers. What about
heavy trucks and the 1500 weight?
So the ducks or the buffaloes that you used?
They were supplied by ours, they were supplied by a special unit.
So you were largely equipped with trucks and Bren gun carriers?
Yeah.
Now, so what happened when you landed at Ostend then?
Well, we moved up behind the started the attack, because they went across in the, as you say, ducks, the attacking forces, the Scots units mainly, infantry, with our supporting groups, you know, Vickers.
What do you remember of that? I know you weren't there, we'll come to what you did, but what was happening to the...
Well, we didn't know what was happening, to be quite honest, because we were still in Belgium, and when we heard the fighting going on, naturally a noise and that kind of thing. And when that was all over, they moved us to reform in Holland.